Well, Merry Christmas to y'all. Hey, you guys doing good? Yeah, you made it. You got a parking spot and you got a seat. That's impressive. Good job. Let's all stand together. Welcome to Athey Creek Christmas Eve service. Good chance for us to hang out together and enjoy time together. Man, we welcome you guys in the foyer and back in the side wings. You guys down in the NPR room down there, hello to you all. It's a little scary. You guys are in the NPR room. Sometimes I've heard that when you get on that, my head's like 8 feet. So that's kind of a problem. Just ignore that if you're downstairs. Thank you. No, it's so good to be here and the chance to worship the Lord and give glory to his name. These Christmas Eve services have become a fun tradition for us at Athey Creek. We're glad to sing some songs and just think through the word and what Jesus did for us the night before Christmas. So here we are, and we're glad you're here. Lord, we pray blessing on this evening. We're thankful that we can tune in to you and focus the time to set the tone and the pace for this coming Christmas day tomorrow. So bless each person here. May your love abound in this building. May people sense your presence. Lord, would you just bless each person that's here, that's watching online, down in the room downstairs. Lord, just bless everybody here, we pray. And we give this time in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Joey, take it away.
Bum bum bum. Jesus smiled at me. Thum-thum-thum-thum.
Yes, nice job, you guys. Why don't you have a seat, make yourself comfy? If you can find a seat. Yeah. It was December of 1903 when the Wright brothers finally had achieved their dream to fly their flying machine, as they called it. On that December afternoon, they flew their machine 120 feet, and they were blown away that they'd finally done it. So excited were they. They went down to the telegraph station and sent a telegram to their sister, Catherine, back at home and said, you had to keep it kind of short and sweet, those telegrams. So they said, we've flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Well, Catherine got that and, you know, their family blown away that their brothers, their sons had achieved flight and knowing that it was a big deal. So Catherine ran that telegram down to the local newspaper and handed it to the editor and said, check this out. And, you know, it was a friend of theirs, so they kind of knew each other. But the editor grabbed the telegram, looked at it, kind of glanced at it, tossed it aside. Well, that's nice. The boys are going to be home for Christmas. He'd missed the whole thing. He'd missed that, wow, these guys have flown. Now, it's funny with the Wright brothers, they were amazing because they flew 120 feet. Then they flew for a half an hour. Then they flew for an hour and a half. In fact, it was by 1909, they demonstrated their flying machine to the military, and the military purchased their flying machine and started the whole thing. And when you think about aviation and what that's done to change the world, the way we see it, the way we know it, that was a big day there in 1903 when they achieved that. But people missed it. They didn't know the big deal. That's just a small event compared to what happened when Jesus Christ was born. The little town of Bethlehem missed it, most people. Oh, there were a few that knew the big deal, but a lot of people didn't really understand how huge it was that God would become a man, live among us, and then die on a cross for the sins of the world. The event that would turn the world upside down, that would change everything. Here we are, 2,000 years later, remembering what was done by God for us through his son, Jesus. And so that's really what we focus on. I've prepared a lot of Christmas Eve sermons over the years. I wonder how many millions of sermons have been prepared over the last couple thousand years on Christmas Eve. But there's one that I think is the most important. The most important one, perhaps, is the very first one. The first Christmas Eve sermon preached to a very small congregation, a group of shepherds watching their flocks by night. The preacher, well, the messenger, it was an angel. It's called an angel of the Lord. And we think that it was probably Gabriel. Most scholars believe that. But we don't know for sure. Gabriel was, in fact, in the Old Testament announcing the coming of the Messiah. Even in the New Testament, we see him talking about the coming of Christ. But we don't know. This just says an angel of the Lord spoke the words of the sermon there on Christmas Eve to those shepherds watching their flocks by night. Now, as a pastor who likes to put together sermons and stuff, I always let you guys in Eighth and Creekers know I like my little points and everything. Helps me remember. I think it helps all of us remember when you do the points. Well, I love this sermon. It's got 4 points. The angel came with 4 points, and I'd like for 4 of our pastors from our pastoral team to share those 4 points this evening. First, we'll have Ian Strauss. Ian's a great guy. Been friends with him since he was just a kid out of college, and he and his family have become such a giant blessing. Ian Strauss, he's also leads our missionary program here at Athey Creek. The second pastor will be Pastor Kaipo. He's the lead of our men's ministry, and Kaipo and his family, also a giant blessing. And then we have Adam Best. Adam's been teaching your kiddos faithfully. He's just a great, fun guy, and what a blessing Adam is. And then fourthly, finally, Jeff Schmidt will be sharing the word for the 4th point. So 4 points from the angel's sermon. Let's give a warm welcome to Ian Strauss as our 1st point from the angels. Come on in, Ian.
Well, let's begin with a joyful introduction. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, for many of us here, we have heard this message a few times before, perhaps at a Christmas Eve service or maybe at your home on Christmas morning. Yet some of us here, maybe it's kind of remembering it for the first time, or it is the first time. Whatever the case may be, I would invite you to kind of tune into it again, but all of us to approach it as if it really is the first time we're hearing this, just as those shepherds would have heard it for the first time there with the angel. So Luke chapter 2, verse 10 again, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So think of this setting, right? You've worked in the night shift at your normal job. It's been a pretty normal day, and you're buttoning everything up for the evening. Then this angelic figure appears, looming over you, bright as the day, maybe floating. We're talking definitely not normal. We know that initially these guys were terrified. They were shaken in their sandals. Yet somehow this figure, when he speaks, he's calming. He is full of hope, full of peace, and full of joy, right? Because he's comforting you with his countenance and encouraging you with a message that you have heard for a long time, since growing up, a message of a coming Messiah. As you glance at your coworkers, you are comforted that you aren't the only one that's seeing this. As you hear his words, you know what he says is true. You know it is more than just an event, and it's what your heart has been longing for. Even if you have been skeptical at times or even possibly dismissed it, you know it is right, and you are full of joy that you have never experienced in this way before. Now, this is the same joy that you and I can have today as we hear this same message. Even though it was given a long time ago, it's just as real and important today, if not more so. If you're like me, I've heard it many times. And so the challenge is so that we don't become so familiar that we miss the joy and the substance of what this message holds. Or perhaps maybe we've just been caught up in the busyness of life or comparing ourselves to others. And we need to be reminded that comparison can be the thief of joy. So let us tune in fully to this message and receive the good news with great joy.
Thank you, Ian. Good word. A joyous introduction. I love that Christmas time is to be a time of joy. I love that old hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." That's really echoing the words of this angel, at least the first point, a joyous introduction. It'd be a good time for us to break out that old song, "Joy to the World," only instead of singing it, we have a special treat for you. I'm so thankful for all the musicians we have here at Athey Creek every week. Five services cranking it out, a lot of work. These guys have been at it. This is their eighth service right here. Thank you for that, guys and girls. It's pretty good. But one of our favorites, she's been a huge blessing here and super talented. Let's introduce you, Daniela Lantescu.
Well, the second point on that angelic sermon was a most excellent consolation. Luke 2, verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Three things I'd love to share with you from this message here is that firstly, this is a personal message. Not just for those shepherds there, that starry night upon that hill. Not even just for the Jews or the Gentiles as the message would spread across. This message isn't even just for that person sitting next to you, that family member that you dragged here to church today, or that unbeliever that you know needs to hear this message. But folks, this is a personal message for you and for me. We're told, John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus would be saved. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Each of you here today, let this great news of our Savior's birth reminisce with you, resonate with you. Firstly, we see that it's a personal message. Secondly, we see that this is a present message. For unto you is born this day. There, those shepherds had two choices: to hear and heed the news that they were given by those angels, or to shrug and chalk it off. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you've heard this message and never received it, can I encourage you? Can I urge you? Today is the day of salvation. Don't let another Christmas, another service pass you by without accepting this most glorious and comforting news. If you are a believer here, would you and I once again hear this message with renewed understanding, with fresh ears, reminiscing, giving awe to the Lord for all that he's done for you and me? A present message. It's for today. Lastly, we see that this is a powerful message. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. We see there that God did not send a soldier, a general, a warrior. He didn't send a judge or a political figure. He sent a Savior, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes for you and for me. Philippians tells us that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What comfort this is, indeed a great consolation. Friends, Jesus, who was born to die on our behalf, listen, the work that he did is absolutely capable of saving you and me. Remember that this is a message for you. It's a message for today, and it's the most powerful message to save, to bring needed comfort, indeed a most excellent consolation.
Amen. You know, I love the fact that that it's a consolation, not a confrontation or a condemnation or a destruction or damnation. Like, when you think about God approaching humanity, he could have approached us rightfully as just condemning, but that's not the way of the Lord. He came in a way that was easy for us to receive. You can't be intimidated by a baby. It's impossible. How could you be freaked out by, "Oh, I'm afraid of that baby"? God says, "I'm going to come in the most humble, most vulnerable way." And that's why it's an excellent consolation. Think about it, that God came in a way for us to be able to receive him and not freak out. You know, humanity, we're very twitchy. We have drones over New Jersey and people are freaking out. Like, we get freaked out about a lot of stuff, but God found a way to visit humanity in a way that we could take it. Bible says no man can see God and live. If God would have just shown up in his full glory, all of humanity would have died. But he came in a way through a babe born in Bethlehem. Joey sings a song on our Athey Creek Christmas record. It brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it. I have to confess, and I'm not that kind of a person generally. But the message of that is kind of sung through an allegory. It's a story, sort of about a story. But I love the way this song kind of moves in allegory. It moves from allegory and then kind of amalgamates into the actual story of Christ and his coming for the misery of humanity, for the trouble. So man, if you get a chance to really listen to these lyrics in this song. So Joey, why don't you share this song with us?
Thank you. At the end of this rundown tenement hall is the room of a girl I know. She cowers behind all the deadbolt locks, afraid of the outside world. So how should I come to the one I love? I will find a way. Many thieves and collectors have used that door, but they have only brought her shame. So she won't even open it anymore. Still, I will find a way. I could call out her name with love through the walls, but condemnation's all she hears. I could break down the door, take her into my arms, but she might die from the fear. So how should I come to the one I love? I will find a way. I will find a way. How should I come to the one I love? I will find a way. Kept her safe, so she hides inside herself. So to reach her heart, the only way is to hide in there as well. So I will hide in there as well.
I'm And the third point in the message from the angel, a wise confirmation. And we see that here in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I love the description of our Savior here, meek and humble. Even more beyond the swaddling clothes and the manger, I love the promise, his availability to all. If you seek him, you'll find him. So what sign was given exactly? Well, it was the way in which he came. You see, they expected the Messiah to come and to deliver them immediately from Roman rule and reign. And if Jesus were born today, we too might look past the divine in the ordinary. You see, a king in our eyes would arrive in a cushy limo at precisely 71 degrees, have a softest cashmere blanket, and stay in the nicest presidential suite hotels, and even have the latest and greatest bassinet with all the necessary accoutrements to help put baby Jesus fast asleep. But no, instead, it was hard traveling at a long distance. There was no presidential suite. In fact, there was no room at the inn whatsoever. The manger, a feeding trough of animals for a bed. Is this the picture of a wise confirmation? It most certainly is. You see, at first glance, we have a poor family that just seems to be down on their luck. A vulnerable baby boy born in a stable, lying in a feeding trough. That's our Messiah. God had a perfect plan through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the descendant of David, a tribe of Judah, to establish his coming. He even used the unexpected historical events of Caesar calling a census, and in so doing, drawing this precious family to Bethlehem. And in so doing, proving prophecy we see in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 from long ago. The message and the unique manner in which our Savior came to this earth is the exact confirmation of God's perfect plan. You know, we see the holiday movies and the Christmas cards and the nativity scenes set up throughout our homes, and they're well-meaning and they do a good job, but I think maybe they just miss a little bit of the story. Those swaddling clothes, a picture of humility, lowliness, and later his burial. It was the announcement to the common man, the shepherd. Christ did indeed come for all. Then we have the manger, likely a stone feeding trough for animals. Not exactly what you would expect for the Almighty, but nonetheless, a perfect image and reality that reflected the confirmation to the shepherds that our Savior was indeed here. And then lastly, perhaps my favorite part of the verse, ye shall find. This presumes a desire to find him, brought upon by a need to find him. You see, we can't save ourselves. We need the Messiah. And the angels, well, they knew that the shepherds would go on their way in search because our Savior, the Good Shepherd, had arrived. Will you seek him today? Seek him, and the Bible says, ye shall find him.
So blessed out from the silence that you came, born in a manger, light and life to all you bring, wonderful Savior, up in the sky the angels sing, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace and throned above, Emmanuel, God with us. Die on Calvary, you were the
death, redemption bring. You rose again, you conquered sin, and then you set the captives free. It is finished. Now we stand in victory. Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace and God above. Emmanuel, God with us. Son of God, Son of Man, the King of Kings, great I am. Emmanuel, God with us. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. Peace on earth, goodwill to man.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Finally, we see a glorious expression of all the love and devotion and adoration you would expect from the heavenly host. In fact, these verses give us a glimpse of some of the most intense worship this world will have ever seen. The angel had given the announcement of comfort and joy and then directions to go find the babe. But now the single angel is joined by a multitude who are practically bursting with joy. The Lord had sent them for this purpose, and they would have found the highest pleasure in giving every bit of themselves to worship him. Can I just tell you, the very same is true of you and me. The highest calling of any of God's creation, be it angels, humanity, or anything, is to bring glory to the Lord with all of our being. We were made to worship him. But compared to the radiance of the angels, why would humanity think that our little lives, stained by sin, could ever bring glory to our Heavenly Father? And how could we ever think that we'd even be welcome to stand in the presence of the King of Kings? Well, I believe the answer is found in the words of their song. We are able to bring glory to God because he has shown goodwill to us. He's brought us peace by the Prince of Peace, his Son, Jesus. Let's remember, the reason Jesus came was not just to look cute in a manger or to inspire some heartwarming songs in the middle of winter. And he didn't come just to teach us the truth and to work miracles. Those things were all important, and he did all of that. But the real reason that Jesus came was to bring us peace. It was to bear the sins of every person when he went to the cross, and then to rise again 3 days later, giving us victory over sin and death. So a couple of things to consider. First, let's all join the angels today and every day in worshiping him with all of our being. Give everything. Sing out loud. Let your voice crack. It's okay. Raise your hands to him. He deserves every bit of who you are, and you were made for this. But second, perhaps you have yet to respond to God's invitation of forgiveness. You know, we can come and take in the songs and the trees, the lights, all the wonderful things, even the message of the angel. It sounds great, but those things, as good as they are all empty without the person of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not justified just because we think we're better than the next guy.
And we don't find peace with him because he's some big benevolent God that will just overlook our sin. We'll never even be saved if we could keep every rule that we could ever come up with. No, we have to turn from our sin and cling to the blood of Jesus Christ to find that gift and that forgiveness. So an encouragement for you tonight, receive that gift of forgiveness this Christmas. And then turn to the Lord in worship. Give him everything that you've got. And I guarantee, just like the angels and the shepherds found so long ago, I think you'll find that the best Christmas you could ever hope for is one spent in the presence of our Savior.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. A glorious expression. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So Ian shared the joyous introduction, joy to the world. Kaipo shared the most excellent consolation, that peace and comfort, and he came in a way that we could receive it. The wise confirmation Adam shared with us, just to confirm, Jesus was confirmed not only as a babe in a manger, but he was confirmed all through his life. Every part of his life was confirming he was who he claimed to be. He wasn't just some guy that came and went. He was foretold so exactly, we know for sure it was the Messiah, the Savior. And then Jeff just gave us the glorious expression along with the glorious gospel message that you're saved by grace through faith through Jesus Christ. Like he just shared, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10, 9 and 10 declares. I've wondered sometimes, why do people put that off? Or maybe reject it. Why would I reject the Messiah's loving salvation that God offers to humanity? People have their reasons. There's been some sad ones I've seen over the years as a pastor. Well, I don't like church people. Doesn't have anything to do with you and Jesus and the work that Jesus has done. It's funny how people get distracted by things that don't matter. But it's maybe it's not that. Maybe it's, I'm just not ready. When I get to a place where I really understand my need for salvation, maybe then in my life I'll accept Christ or believe. But can I just say, the Bible tells you that today is the day of salvation. Today. And don't put it off. The Bible warns about that. You don't even know your time is coming, so why not just do it now? In fact, I found the road that leads to heaven's better than the rest of this life. I mean, if you're living this life for this life, you'll be miserable. But when you live this life, knowing that there's life to come through Christ, it changes the whole thing. Doesn't mean your life will be rosy, but it does mean you'll be saved and headed for heaven. And there's no better place on earth, if you ask me, than the road that leads to heaven. It was a group of soldiers preparing for World War II. They were young 18, 19-year-old boys in their jump training sessions, and only a few days later they'd be shipped off to Europe, where they'd jump out of a perfectly good airplane only into combat. But during one of these training sessions, this kind of crusty sergeant was there with a cigar in his mouth and just giving these orders. Okay, you guys, you take your carabiner and you clip into the cable, and then when you get on the plane, you just jump out, and if you jump out, your chute will deploy automatically. But if your chute should tangle or not deploy correctly, then you have a reserve chute and you pull your ripcord. And when you pull that ripcord, it'll tear away the first chute and deploy the reserve. And he said, you'll land safely if you do that the way I just described. Well, one of the privates there in the class, wide-eyed and shaky little voice, he said, Sergeant, I have a question. At what time should I, how long do I have from the time my bad chute is, how long do I have to pull my ripcord? And the guy took out his cigar, and the sergeant looked him in the eye and he said, the rest of your life. Not so helpful for the poor private who was nervous. But the sergeant was making a point. You got the rest of your, it might be 10 minutes or 10 seconds that you have for the rest of your life, but that's the truth. In other words, you probably better get after it, because you never really know. In the same way, I would say, if you're one who's dabbled with Christianity or thought, well, maybe someday I'll accept Christ, tonight is a good night. 2024, Christmas Eve, a good night to say, Lord, I accept and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he rose up from the grave. So I'm going to repent from my sinfulness. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means that I'm perfectly forgiven. And I'm going to walk with Jesus Christ, because that's where it's at. Don't miss that. Confession with the mouth, belief in the heart is what saves you. You know, we're about to do a fun Christmas Eve tradition here at Athey to light the candles, the Christmas Eve candle. For us that are Christians, it's really Christ. It speaks of Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, what a glorious thing, the light of life. Life, and that's what you all need. That's what we all want, whether we know it or not. The light of life comes in Jesus. In fact, later in John chapter 12, verse 46, he said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." This world has become and furthering into a darker place. But praise be to the Lord, we as Christians have the light of life. That's what we do. When we take this candle that's here on this stage, just one candle on the keyboard there, that's really a type, a symbol of Jesus, the light of the world. But then Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, but you will be lights of the world." So this is such a fun practice because it really does depict what's going on. The single flame is gonna be turned into another flame where we get from that flame, the ultimate flame. And it's amazing how that little tiny flame is gonna spread from my candle to the pastor's candle to your guys' candle. It's gonna spread all through the congregation, down the stairs into the multi-purpose room that's packed full of people right now. We're gonna have candles from this one little tiny candle right here. And it's because it's a great symbol of what Christ does. It's Christ who's the light of the world, and then we get to take the light from him and pass it along. So at Christmas, this is just a symbol of us letting our light so shine. And what we want to do for 2025 is to be Christians with our lights shining. Portland needs that. The world needs that. So that's you if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can take this as a time to accept Christ. As the flame comes your way, what an act. As you light the candle, just say it with a still small prayer. Just say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins. I accept the work of Jesus on the cross, that he died, that he rose again." And as you light that candle, know that Christ is now the light of life for you as well, eternal life through Christ. What an opportunity. Don't miss it. So at this time, let's all stand together. And moms and dads, kind of keep an eye on the kiddos, make sure they don't light anybody's hair on fire. But this will be great. Let's do this. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus said, men love the darkness because their deeds are evil. If we're in our sin, we want to hide. We don't want to be out in front of anybody. We don't want anybody to know our problems. But praise be to the Lord. He takes our sins and he washes them away. He remembers our sins no more. In fact, Isaiah 1:18 says that though our sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Wouldn't it be great to have a little snow this Christmas to remind us of that? But I love it that we have Christ, the one who washes away our sins. And because of that, you don't have to be ashamed. You can let your light shine before all men because of what Christ has done in you. This is why these lights, I remember that little kid's Sunday school song I used to sing when I was a little kid, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And then that line, I loved it. Don't let Satan it out. I love that part because it was, you know, something you got to do other than sing. Don't hide it under a bushel, no. But this is really what we want to do. We want to let our lights so shine before all men. So whether you're up here in the sanctuary or downstairs, hey, let's have a video. There's the folks downstairs. You guys that are downstairs, raise your, yeah, there we go. Look at that. That's awesome. You guys downstairs look good down there. Okay, let's all raise up our candles nice and high together. And Lord, we take these candles, we lift them up and pray that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that Jesus, the light of the world, would be seen in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our church, but more importantly, in our personal lives, that we'd let our light shine before men. So may this be a year of the light of Christ, this 2025. Bless this your congregation. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can blow out your candle at this time. And Joey, why don't you lead us in one final song?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is.
Over the hills, yeah, everywhere. Come on.
Christmas to you all, and we will see you next weekend. You're dismissed. God bless you.